A few weeks ago, a freelance journalist, trying to make a name for himself, published a leaked diplomatic communique between the now ex-British ambassador to the United States and the British National Security Advisor at the Foreign Office. In it, the ambassador was less than complimentary about the US president and his administration, referring to them as inept and utterly dysfunctional. Within a few days, the ambassador had resigned, stating that the current situation is making it impossible for me to carry out my role as I would like. And a full-scale investigation by multiple top-level departments was underway to determine and hold to account the source of the leak. Mr. Armstrong understood the role and the importance of an ambassador. The introduction to the booklet World Peace, How It Will Come. He writes, I travel to all parts of the world as an ambassador without political portfolio for world peace. I discuss world problems, evils, and world peace with many heads of government, kings, presidents, prime ministers, and those high in government, leaders in science, education, commerce, and industry. I have not been called, and therefore make no effort, to bring about world peace, but serve as an ambassador of the power that will bring it in our time. It is clear from Mr. Armstrong's actions that he fulfilled the role of an official ambassador for world peace, but he also fulfilled an official ambassadorial role, one which we share today. In the October-November Good News article of 1984, an article entitled, How Would Jesus Vote for President? Mr. Armstrong explained this vital role. In his final prayer for his disciples, Jesus said to his Father, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. And that's from John 17:15-16. Thus Jesus' disciples lived in this present evil world as though they were foreigners, here merely as the guests of the nation where they reside, as ambassadors for Christ and his coming kingdom, here as representatives of his coming kingdom, not of any of this world's governments. As the word of God reveals in 2 Corinthians 5:17-20, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are training to be kings and priests, or better worded, king priests, both rulers and teachers at the same time. A very member of the royal family that will rule the kingdom of God as it spreads throughout the entire world during the millennium, something we will undoubtedly hear more about during the rapidly approaching Feast of Tabernacles. Apart from the day-to-day royal duties of the monarch, each member of the royal family has a diplomatic role, and being a king priest in the future will be no different. Although that role is still in the future for us, we are all ambassadors for Christ and the kingdom of God that he will rule, right now. Just as the recent events regarding the British ambassador to the US has caused a lot of unease and concern amongst the world's diplomats, there are things from this incident that we too should take note of, so we can better carry out our duties as ambassadors. Before we look specifically into this incident, it is worthwhile looking at the role of ambassador and how it impacts us. Continuing from the Good News article, Mr. Armstrong explains, the United States sends an ambassador to the Kremlin. He resides for the time in Moscow. The Christian in the world today is in the same relative position as the American ambassador in the then Soviet Union. He is not a communist. He does not regard the Soviet as his government. And he knows well it is a government mortally opposed to his government. He does not serve the Soviet government, nor does he enter into its politics, nor devote his time in Moscow to try to eradicate the evils he sees in their system, or to making their state a better state, or voting, or entering their army, or fighting for their cause. Yet he subjects himself to all their rules and regulations that in any way concern him or his life whilst there. If they drive automobiles on the left side of the street, he conforms to their regulations. He does not oppose them. he is subject to them while there, endeavouring to cause them to like him so as to better represent the interests of his government, the United States. Jesus taught his disciples to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Specifically, he was referring to payment of taxes. If the government levies taxes, then pay them. The Bible teaching for the Christian is to be subject to the powers that be in this world, but on the other hand, Christians shall obey God rather than man. The true Christian will so conduct himself as to be highly regarded by the powers of government where he lives. He will be regarded by them as a good citizen. He will appreciate the privileges, advantages, and opportunities extended. He will regard himself as the paying guest of the country where he resides, and he will act with due courtesy, submission to its rules and regulations, insofar as they do not conflict with the commands of God, and submission to their penalty where they do. Whilst I'm sure there is way more to the story referred to in the introduction than meets the eye, there are some things we can learn from it. Perhaps the biggest one is the difference between politics and diplomacy. Both terms are used often interchangeably, but there are subtle differences, and this is of great importance. Politics is the process by which policy, laws, and the best interests of a nation are defined. Diplomacy is the process by which those policy, laws, and interests are implemented. An ambassador is a diplomat and not a politician. This stands true with our position as well. As ambassadors, we don't get to make the policies or laws. God has already done that. A diplomat must steer clear of getting involved in politics, and should that line get crossed, the diplomat loses their integrity and ability to operate. It was for this reason that the British ambassador had no alternative but to resign from his post. Following the initial leaked correspondence, the ambassador had imputed personal motives to actions taken by the US president, and regardless of whether these were true or not, the line between politics and diplomacy was crossed. In the future, when Christ returns and the kingdom of God is established on the earth, it will be part of our responsibility to both teach those policies and laws and to implement them and to see that they are carried out in the areas that we have jurisdiction over. An ambassador is a representative of their home nation and acts largely as the interface between two nations. We represent the kingdom of God not through eloquent speeches and lavish banquets, but every day through how we live. An ambassador is also expected to be an observer and to give regular reports on the state of things in the host nation, specifically with regard to how this impacts the home nation. Although God is in overall control, he has allowed man, under the influence of Satan, to rule this world, at least for now. It is clear from Scripture, however, that God expects his people, his ambassadors, to report back on the state of things. If you just put in your notes, Ezekiel 9, verse 4, a very well-known scripture. And the Eternal said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. That sighing and crying will be heard by God, and those that do it will be saved. Another interesting example is back in Genesis 18. If you turn there, please. In Genesis 18, with regards to Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 18, starting in verse 20. And the Eternal said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. Here is an example of the reports going back to the Eternal, and the reports were so bad that he wanted to verify them for himself. After agreeing with Abraham that he would spare Sodom if there were only 10 righteous in it, he departed, and the very next thing recorded in verse 1 of chapter 19 And there came two angels to Sodom at even. If you drop down to verse 13, the angel speaking, "For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Eternal, and the Eternal has sent us to destroy it." This goes to show that the cry of even a few people, in this case there must have been less than 10, and it could have been literally Lot himself, will ascend to God, and he will act accordingly, in his good time. We don't have to rely on the postal system or electronic messaging systems to communicate with our sovereign. We can communicate at any time of the day or night through prayer. We don't have to worry about our communications being intercepted or leaked. But there is a very important point that we must be aware of. If you turn please to 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, and we'll start reading from verse 1. "But there were false prophets also amongst the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be even evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell or Tartaru, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that are after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation or conduct of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." That word vexed can be translated as tortured. He was right in it. "The Lord knoweth," verse 9, "the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." In the sermon last week, we read a scripture in Acts when Paul was confronted about how he had spoken to the high priest. And he responded, "I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." That was in Acts 23, verse 5. Paul was afraid to speak evil of dignities. But why? Because it's part of the law that we, as ambassadors, have to live by. If you turn, please, to Exodus 22. In Exodus 22... and verse 28. "Thou shalt not revile the gods," which can also be translated as magistrates or great ones, "nor curse the ruler of thy people." We are expected to make honest reports to God, but we must remember not to curse or speak evil of those that God has placed as rulers over us. We are to sigh and cry about the abominations being committed. But as observers, we are not to get caught up in the politics of the host nation we are in. If we do, we cross that line between diplomacy and politics, and we too can lose our integrity. We are, however, in a unique position. We have the framework of prophecy, as revealed to Mr. Armstrong. By watching world events and overlaying them with that prophecy, we can get a glimpse of how some of the prophesied events could come about. But we do see through a glass darkly. Soon, Christ will return, and the kingdom of God will be established here on earth, and we will receive our spiritual inheritance, stepping up to the role of king priests. We can't bring that about, but until that time, we serve as ambassadors of the power that will bring it.